Well, good morning. It's such an honor to be with you guys. I'm so privileged to get to speak with you. I'm very excited to share with you what I feel God has placed on my heart. It's a message that I am very burdened for, I think, it's something that God has been speaking to me for quite some time. So I'm very excited to get to share with you guys and have you guys hopefully carry the same burden as I have been through this message. So why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, and I'll quickly read the passage that I'll be preaching from this morning. So in verse 44, it's the parable of the hidden treasure. So it starts like this: "The kingdom of heaven is like the treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Father, I thank you so much for your word, that it is living and breathing and active, Lord, that it's something that never ceases to fail us, God. That it's something that we are to share, Lord, to our city, to our nation, God, and ultimately to our world. And Father, I pray that you will use it this morning to just work on our hearts, God, touch the places of our heart that maybe have not been touched before. In your name, amen. Yeah, so chapter 13 is one that's kind of packed full of very important parts, of very important things, things that you've probably heard before. There's the parable of the sower. There's the parable of the weeds. And these are all actually parables that carry a very specific theme, a very particular theme, which is the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is the good news. It's the gospel. It's the thing that we are to share to the people and to our world around us. But earlier in chapter 13, Jesus is preaching to a big crowd. And the idea that he's using for the kingdom of God is actually about the kingdom of God ultimately coming at the end of time. So meaning, like when he comes again, meaning that there will be people will be judged equally, meaning the righteous will be brought up with him, and those who are not will be cast away. And so that's a pretty heavy topic. I know that is something that is obviously not super light, but there is a change. There's a shift right before the parable that I'm going to be preaching on that I'd actually like to focus on. So in chapter 36, Jesus actually draws away from the crowd. So it's no longer the same focus that he had before. It's still the kingdom of God, but he actually is drawn away with his disciples. So it's something that's a lot more intimate, something that's a lot more private, and it's actually a message that is a lot more pointed to people who are to carry the kingdom of God, which is what I want to focus on this morning, of how we can carry the kingdom of God. So let me ask you that question. How do we as Christians carry the kingdom of God? How are we supposed to take that burden of the gospel and to bring it to our world around us? Why don't you rest on that while I ask you another question? It's a little bit more lighthearted, but how many of you in this room are hockey fans this morning? I know that I am a huge hockey fan. Right now the playoffs are going on, which is super exciting. But there's something about hockey that in my life, I've noticed it, that I don't know what it is about hockey, but when I am watching a game or when I go to a game, something changes, right? I put that jersey on over my head and it doesn't matter who I am anymore. It just matters that I'm that fan. And I find myself I went to a hockey game. This was a couple months ago. I went to Vancouver Canucks game and I found myself just in this sea of people, right? All of us wearing the same jersey, all of us representing the same team. And I don't even think about the people beside me, right? Like I don't even know who this guy is. And I find myself screaming and yelling at the same time as this guy, right? I have no idea who he is, but I find myself in this place of passion and excitement, right? And the whole arena is in the same place, right? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter how many friends you have or how much family you have. It just matters that you're there for the team. Right? And there's something that's just so funny to me, because you feel the emotions that everyone else feels in that arena, right? When there's a goal scored, when there's a bad call, you find yourself feeling the things that everyone else is feeling. And I thought it was funny because I saw a parallel here about how I carry the passion for my hockey team and how we are actually called to carry the kingdom of God. You see, the jersey that I slip over my head actually goes over everything that I am, right? It doesn't matter, like I said, it doesn't matter who I am, it doesn't matter what I do, people just see that. They just know that I'm one of them, right? When I see someone walking down the street with a Canucks jersey on, I immediately feel that connection to them because I know that they support and they're passionate about something that I'm passionate about. So let me go back to that first question. How do we carry the kingdom of God to those around us. And so I believe that this parable is so profound in an instruction on how we are to do that. And so I want to start off with my first point here that I believe is being revealed in this parable. And that first point is to, number one, be like the people. Okay, so I want to focus on this point is the field in this parable. So the field here is, honestly, it's something that I think a lot of people breeze over in this parable. The treasure is generally what the focus is, right? But something to note is that in Jesus' time, farming was actually the main job around his time. So there was a lot of farmers. It was the main income for people. It was the main vocation. And so there was a lot of farmers, right? So this field represented more than just a place where things were planted. And the funniest part in this parable is that there's no mention of this guy's job before. There's no mention of who he was before this, but there's a mention that he sold everything in order to buy a field, right? He could have been a millionaire. He could have been, who knows? Who knows what he sold, but that's not what's important, right? The important part is that he actually bought this field. He sold everything in order to buy a field, in order to buy the lifestyle of farming, right? Because I know for me, if I had sold everything and bought a field, I'm pretty sure I know what I would start to do. I'd probably start farming, right? I wouldn't have very much stuff. So it would be pretty obvious to me that I'd need to start doing something. I'm not about to just sit in an empty field. And so I see that parallel there between how he's now become one of the people, right? Just as when I go to a hockey game and I slide that jersey over my head, I become one of the crowd. So this guy has just sold everything and become just a normal guy, right? He's just become one of the crowd, one of the average people in his city, in his town, wherever he was. That's what he's become. And you know, I think that this field represents our lives. I think it represents our daily lives as Christians, as people. And I think that often we don't recognize the reality that God has actually called us to the normal. He's called us to the mundane parts of our lives that feel not so special, right? He hasn't just called us to those things that feel like we're honoring him. He's called us to the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And that's what I think is so, so important. And we often forget that Jesus hasn't just called us to one thing, right? He's called us to our daily lives. And I think that we've fallen into the deception that to be in the world and not of the world means something other than it does. Because often I think that we mean that means to be completely separate from the world, right? The reality is that we live in it. We can't avoid it. And I think that God has called us to live in it in a way that is honoring to him, right? I think that we sang songs in Sunday school like "This Little Light of Mine," and we sang it and we thought, hide it under a bushel. No, but if you threaten that little burning of my light, I'm going to burn your house down with it. Right? Like, I think that we took such an aggressive approach to how we are going to spread the gospel. And we fail oftentimes to realize, now for myself, this is something that I was convicted of, that I fail to realize that the Monday to Saturday is just as much of a calling as Sunday. Right? That's Monday to Saturday. The afternoon where I'm exhausted is just as much a calling as the time that I'm going overseas to minister to people. That's exactly what God has called us to do, is to be in the field, right? That's what he's called us to do, is to sell everything and be in the field. The field is our lives. The field is our offices. The field is our work truck, our neighborhood, our tables, our homes. The field is everything. And I just wanted to share with you a story that where I've experienced this. So a couple of years back, I was part of a ministry in Surrey called Night Shift. So this is a street ministry. It's something that where we went out onto the street and we ministered to the homeless community there. And when I first found out I was going to be doing this ministry, I was so excited. It was something that I'd never done before, and I was really excited to be on the front lines of sharing the gospel. But I kind of had a strange approach. I remember when I first started, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in there and I'm going to bear hope like a sword, and I'm just going to start smacking people with this sword of hope, right? And that's going to work. And I remember feeling so confident that when I went in there and I was aggressive with the gospel, that I would change people's lives. But man, was I wrong. I remember specifically this one night. So it was a night where I was feeling really good. I was excited. I was really excited, and I was leading a team of a bunch of other students. And so I was like, you know what? I've got to be the leader. I'm gonna make sure that I go out here and I really spread the gospel, right? And so I remember. So you exit the center where we prayed, and we were just leaving. You exit the center, and there's a little bit of a walk this way before you turn the corner to where all the tents are. And so I remember turning the corner, and I saw one person, the first person I saw, and I said, "I'm going to talk to that person." And I remember I walked up to this person so confidently and started talking to them. And I remember I was talking to them and talking to them, and I basically was looking for every opportunity for me to just take the hope that I had and just really drive it in, right? And I remember I heard him say something where he was like, "Yeah, I'm just really struggling." And I remember I just jumped on that opportunity, and I just started sharing and sharing and sharing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And he told me, and I remember this is so vivid in my mind because I was so shocked by it. And I was sharing what I thought was the right thing, and I just remember vividly in my mind the word "shut up." And I remember standing there and kind of taking a step back because I was in shock. I was in shock. This guy who I was supposed to be, who I thought I was sharing hope with, had just told me to shut my mouth. And I took a step back because I couldn't believe it. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, "You need to be careful how much you speak." And I remember feeling so convicted in that moment because I wasn't bringing the gospel through things that were relatable. I was just punching him in the face with the gospel. And that's something that I mean, it seems simple, but the gospel is shared to people through things that would connect to my heart just as much as they would to yours. We have to share the gospel through things that get to me, right? To get to you. And I don't know why it took me somebody yelling at me for me to realize that. And you know, after this moment, I felt convicted, and we continued this conversation, and I shared with him about my life, and I talked to him about his life, and I was able to connect to him through the simple things that I would connect to you with. And at the end of the conversation, I actually had the opportunity to share hope with him. But it was in a way that was so much different than I had anticipated. So much simpler than I had anticipated. And I think that that's something that we tend to forget. That the best way to reach people is through the same things that would reach us. Through those same things that get to our heart, get to theirs. Because they're people just like us, right? They work the field just like we do. Which leads me into my second point, which is to be with the people. And what I want to focus on here is the placement of the treasure in the field. The first time I read this parable, I read it a little bit differently than I probably should have, but this is the way that I read it. I read it, "The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has, buys the field, digs up the treasure, and enjoys it for the rest of his life." You see, the difference between the way that I read it originally and the way that it's actually written is that the treasure actually remains buried. You see, I think that's so important, the fact that the treasure remains buried in the field. It wasn't taken out and placed in a special building or on a special day of the week. It was remained buried in the field that he had purchased. You see, it was buried in the average, the normal life of this farmer. And something to know about the Mesopotamian era and the area there is that farmers in Mesopotamia would actually, when they had something valuable, they would tend to bury it. So they would take it and they would say, "This is mine. I'm going to make sure that I protect it. I'm going to make sure that I keep it, and I don't want anyone to steal it." And they would bury it in their field. And this was to protect it from people, from anything that could damage it. And the funniest thing about this is that sometimes they were too good at it. And it could actually outlast the lifetime of the farmers who had buried this treasure. And so this treasure would remain through floods, through storms, through droughts, through all of these things, and it would stay there. Right? Like the thing that I want to focus on here is that the treasure buried in that field didn't actually change the state of the field. The field remained a field. It still went through hard things. It still went through the storms. It still went through the floods, the droughts, but the treasure remained. The placement of the treasure is so important because the treasure needs to be buried deep into our lives, into our daily lives, so that when we go and relate to people, they see that we are farmers just like them. Right? This guy in this parable, he was just a farmer, right? And the people around him saw that. Not because he owned a field, not because he had a treasure, but because during the flood season, he walked up to the shared fence in between their fields, and he had his pants rolled up to his knees, he was soaked head to toe, and he talked to them about how disappointed he was that his crop was ruined just like theirs. And you see, isn't that the essence of the gospel? That we are to share that the hope that is buried within our daily lives, that we struggle just like everyone else does. And I think that often we forget, and as Christians, we see compassion a little differently than that. I think we fail to remember that compassion is not just feeling bad for people. Just like when I was on the street, I remember I would walk around and I would be like, wow, I feel so badly for these people. I feel so badly for his situation. And I would get to the end of the day and say, wow, I'm so compassionate. And that's not compassion, right? Compassion isn't feeling bad, simply feeling bad for somebody. So the essence of compassion is actually to suffer with somebody, right? We are to suffer with people. And I think that we do tend to forget that we are to suffer with people. Yeah, and I want to tell another story about when I was at that ministry, because this is where it changed for me. I had that experience with that man, told me to shut up, was shocked, kind of took a step back, and you know, as I continued that ministry, this idea of compassion really sunk in for me. So I was doing ministry there during the time when fentanyl deaths were at an incredible high. So it was a very, very heavy time to be ministering to people on the street. And I remember one week in particular where we were there the week before, and we had been talking to people, doing our regular ministry, and the week that we came back, we were greeted by a humongous banner. And this banner had the names of people who had passed away from fentanyl. This was something that drove so deep into my heart, not because of the sadness of it, but because these people who had names written on this banner were people who I had been friends with. People who I had talked to about photography, about life, about food, about whatever it is, about the same things that I care about. And these were people who I cared about. Right? They were people just like me. They weren't distant. It wasn't distant anymore. It wasn't just a feel bad for you moment. This was a suffer with you kind of moment that I could not shake. Which is, in my mind, the essence of the gospel. We are to enter into the lives of those people around us and to take part in the suffering with them. Because we are people just like them. We have the same jersey on, right? We bear the same crest. We are people just like them. It's when we're stripped down to the core that we can bring what has been deposited in our lives into other people's. You see, we experience grief, fear, anxiety, stress, all the same things that they do. But the only difference is that we have one thing that still remains in those things, in those experiences, in those times. And you know what? They don't. You know, I love the songs we're singing about the hope that we bear, the hope that we contain. Because it's true, right? We have an incredible hope that we bear, that we can contain, but they don't have it. And the way that we can bring that to them is for them to see us in those same things, in the fear, the stress, the anxiety, the grief, and yet we still stay strong. We still remain, and we can give them the opportunity to see the treasure, the hope, the kingdom of God, which leads me to my last point, and the last step in carrying the kingdom of God is to bring the kingdom of God. You see, it's the last step for a reason. Just like in my experience where I actually put this one first, it didn't turn out too well. Even though it's the most important step is that hope. It's the most exciting step. We actually have to be patient. We have to wait to be able to bring the kingdom of God. But this part, this step is one that actually is the only one that requires movement, which is why it's so important. The other two require still just being with people. And this is the one that requires us to step out. This is the one that requires us to take a step of faith, to be able to show people the reality of the hope that's within us. And you know what's incredible? Is that Jesus did the exact same thing for us. Number one, God sent him down to be like us. God sent him into the field. Jesus came down to be like his creation. He was like us in every way. I think we often forget that he was actually a carpenter 30 years before he started ministry. Right? He was normal. He was somebody just like us, just like the rest of them. And then he came and became with us, right? He was able to share parables that because he understood. He got it. He'd stubbed his toe before. He had smacked his thumb with a hammer. He understood it, right? He got the reality of humanity. And then, and only then, did he bring salvation. He brought it once we were so deeply connected with who he was and that he was just like us. But and then he revealed the incredible treasure which he bore, which was the kingdom of God. Because he was the Son of God. You see, we need to take the approach of the kingdom of God that this man in the parable took. We take the precious kingdom of God and bury it within who we are, and what we do from Monday to Saturday, not just on Sundays, and then we'll be able to show people truly where the hope comes from. Isn't that right? Because on Sunday, me and Josmar are actually talking about this. On Sunday is not the day that I've had the most incredible experiences with Jesus. The once a year outreach is not the time that I've had the most incredible experiences with Jesus. Those simple, in the day, daily things of when I've had the most incredible experiences with Jesus. I work at Starbucks at the same time as I pastor. And I've had more opportunities to share with people the hope of Jesus in my workplace than I've ever had before, or even on a Sunday morning, which is shocking. Because I was, like, for example, yesterday I was even sharing with my boss about this message. And she began to well up in her eyes and got chills from the Holy Spirit. And I was just telling her the simplest, shortest version of this message. You see, the Holy Spirit works in our daily lives. He draws people to him, not on Sunday morning, right? The Holy Spirit draws people to him through those trials. And when people see us in the field working and they see the joy on our face, they see the hope that we bear, they say, why? Right? They say, why are you so hopeful even in your struggle? And that is our opportunity to say, because I have something buried deep within that cannot be touched by the trials, cannot be touched by the enemy, cannot be touched by my own thoughts, because we have buried it deep within, not just once a week. We've buried it deep within the foundation of who we are and what we do. You see, We need to take this hope, and I want to challenge you guys this week to take this hope that we bear and to actually take one step with somebody in your life. And this person that I want you guys to take this step with is not somebody who will come to church next Sunday. I want you guys to take a step with somebody who is going to take some time. Right? They're the farmer who's really having a rough go, and they don't want to know anything about that treasure that you have buried. Right, I think so often we walk around with that treasure and we say, guess what I have? We almost walk around with it like a fancy pair of shoes, right? And we show it off to everybody. But I think that we need to bring it to people in a way that's a little bit gentler. And I want to challenge you guys to do that. Find that person in your life. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe it's in your family. Somebody who you can begin to build a relationship with in the simplest way possible. Because we are called to carry the kingdom beyond the walls and into the fields. So I want to challenge you guys to do that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that your Son was brought to be like us, to be with us, and then to bring hope and salvation to us. Father, I thank you that you are so gentle, God, in your conviction, You are so gentle in your guidance, Jesus. And I pray that this morning that we will be burdened for the carrying of the kingdom, Lord. That we will not let it sit idle in a field, Lord. And we won't let it sit stagnant, Father. But we will bear hope, Jesus, in our daily lives, in our Monday, God. I pray for tomorrow, Lord, that tomorrow morning we'll wake up with the same zeal, the same passion as we had worshiping you this morning. And Father, I just want to pray that it'll remain, Lord, that this desire to carry the kingdom will remain, that it won't seem distant, because the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is now, and it's active, Lord. In your name, amen.